Radio Prague News.
The Czech government has postponed the decision on the restitution of church property over a dispute among the coalition parties. Public trust in the Czech lower house has dropped to the lowest level since 1993, according to a new poll. And in tennis, the Czech Republic has beaten the United States at the Hopman Cup. The Czech government on Wednesday postponed the decision on the restitution of church property due to a dispute among the coalition parties. The Junior Coalition Public Affairs Party said they first wanted to know where the funds for the proposed financial compensation will come from before they support the bill. The parties have agreed to discuss the matter at a coalition meeting before the government deals with the issue at its regular session next week. Last year, the government reached a deal with the country's churches on property restitution. The churches should receive some 56% of the physical property confiscated by the communist regime in the 1950s. In reimbursement for the rest, they should receive 59 billion crowns plus inflation over a period of 30 years. The Czech police might receive more powers to fight animal abuse. The cabinet on Wednesday approved new legislation which will allow police officers to enter private homes on suspicion of animal abuse. They will also be able to confiscate maltreated animals. Their breeders could also be banned from keeping animals in the future. The draft legislation will now be put to Parliament for approval. Several hundred wheelchair users turned up at labor offices around the Czech Republic on Wednesday to protest against changes to the country's welfare system. As of the 1st of January, mobility benefits are paid by labor offices rather than local authorities. Disabled people now receive them monthly rather than once a year. The head of the Czech National Disability Council, Václav Krása, said the changes would only increase bureaucracy. Many labor offices, which are part of the Ministry of Labor and Social Affairs, also lack access for wheelchair users. Government officials have rejected the protest and said the changes will make the system easier to use for people with disabilities. Public trust in the lower house of the Czech parliament has sunk to the lowest level since 1993, according to a new poll by the STEM agency released on Wednesday. The survey found that a mere 16% of people trusted the Chamber of Deputies, down by 3% from the previous poll that took place in June 2011. However, 40% of those polled said they trusted the Speaker of the lower house, Miroslava Němcová. The most trusted institutions of the state include the Constitutional Court with 57%, followed by the President, also with 57%. The upper chamber of parliament enjoys the trust of some 25% of Czechs. The remains of the late President Václav Havel were on Wednesday placed in the family tomb at Prague's Vinohradsky Cemetery. The private ceremony was attended by Václav Havel's widow Dagmar, his brother Ivan with his wife, and several of the ex-president's closest friends. The remains of the late president, playwright and human rights leader were placed in the tomb on the 15th anniversary of his marriage to his second wife. In tennis, the Czech Republic tennis squad on Wednesday beat the United States at the Hopman Cup in Perth, Australia, without losing a set. In the first singles match, world number 2 Petra Kvitová defeated Bethania Matek-Sands 6-2 and 6-1. Tomáš Berdych, ranked 7th in the world, beat Marty Fish 6-3, 6-3. In the mixed doubles match, the top-seeded Czech pair then beat the American 6-3 and 7-6. On Friday, Petra Kvitová and Tomáš Berdych will take on Denmark. And finally, a brief look at the weather. Strong winds with rain and snow in higher places are expected over the next few days, with daytime highs ranging between 3 and 7 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and it's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, one of the best-known 20th century Czech authors, Josef Škvorecký, has died at the age of 87. We look back at his life and work. A shocking case of child abuse in court. The authorities recently uncovered the existence of two wolf children who were severely neglected due to their parents' beliefs. And later on, in Spotlight, Ruth Franková will take you to Jilemnice, the cradle of Czech skiing. We'll end the show, as usual, with another Czech lesson. Stay with us. Czech emigre, author and co-founder of 68 Publishers, Josef Škvorecký, died at the age of 87 on Tuesday, succumbing to cancer in Toronto, Canada. Mr. Škvorecký was one of the last great Czech 20th century authors. His first novels, published in Czechoslovakia in the 1950s, were quickly banned by the communist regime. Later, following the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia, Škvorecký and his wife Zdena Salivarová moved to Canada, where they founded 68 Publishers. The imprint was a crucial avenue for Czech and Slovak dissidents like Milan Kundera and Václav Havel to publish in Czech and English in the West. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Josef Škvorecký's life and work were nothing if not remarkable. Both as an author and as a co-founder of 68 Publishers, he had a huge impact on both Czech literature and dissident writing, giving a voice to those whose works were suppressed by the communist authorities at home. As an author, Škvorecký made his mark as a young man in the late 1950s, publishing a decade after the communists seized power, one of the darkest periods in Czechoslovak history. His fiction often examined the impact of repression and totalitarianism and celebrated jazz through his most famous character and alter ego, Danny Smititsky. Especially The Cowards earned him early renown, but also proved a threat. Czech editor Michal Špirit.
From today's standpoint, it might look like his breakthrough was sensational, like Ivan Klíma said. But we know from Mr. Škvorecký himself that there were consequences. It wasn't an easy period. People stopped greeting him in the street. He lost his job and his family worried that he could share the same fate as other authors and be politically persecuted.
Nenásledoval osud politicky pronásledovaných autorů.
The Cowards tells the story of an innocent, idealistic youth at the end of World War II, but is also darkly comic, farcically portraying locals as the Red Army approaches. Much of its strength, Michal Špirit says, stemmed from the author's own spirit and youth.
It sounds banal, but I think that its strength lies in a certain youthfulness that is timeless, as well as its witty use of language, the novel's anchor in a Czech-English setting, and in desires that would grow in intensity in the coming years. It was written 10 years before it was published, so Škvorecký couldn't know which way things would go, but I think through several references in the text, he predicted quite accurately what would come.
Ale vlastně ji předpovídal z několika narážek v textu docela dobře a jasno zřivě.
After 1968, Josef Škvorecký and his wife settled in Toronto, Canada, beginning a new life, but never forgetting their friends and colleagues at home. In 1971, they founded 68 Publishers, which many years later, Milan Kundera described as a publishing house that had moral and aesthetic authority beyond compare. 68 Publishers put out works by authors like Arnošt Lustig, Viktor Fischl, Jiří Gruša, and many others, and the works were often smuggled back into Czechoslovakia so they could be read here illegally. The author always stressed, though, that the publishing house was primarily his wife's accomplishment and success. Škvorecký himself authored numerous literary works, including The Engineer of Human Souls. He received the Governor General's Award in Canada in 1984, the Order of the White Lion in Czechoslovakia in 1990, and the Czech Republic's State Prize for Literature in 1999.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Moving on now to a story that has been very much in the centre of media attention. The mother and father of two boys, dubbed wolf children by the Czech media, are currently on trial at a Prague city court. In a shocking and unusual case of child abuse, the parents never let their sons out of the apartment, did not dress them, and fed them only liquid food. They deny charges of abuse and say they simply wanted to raise their children in an alternative way. Sarah Borůvka has more.
The parents of the two boys, nicknamed Wolf Children by Czech media, were dodging questions from journalists when their trial opened at Prague City Court on Tuesday. The man and woman, both aged 36, claimed that never letting their children outside of the house, giving them no clothes, and feeding them only pureed food is not child abuse, but simply an alternative style of parenting. However, authorities disagree with this point of view, and have charged the parents with neglect. The court's spokeswoman Martina Lotáková sums up the position of the prosecution.
The parents face criminal charges because after the home birth of their two children, they kept their identity secret. The children never saw a doctor, were never taken outside the flat. In addition, the parents neglected their hygiene and did not provide them with proper nutrition or toys. By neglecting them in this way, they inflicted grave damage to their children's health.
The two boys, aged 1 and 2, were both delivered at home. When police discovered the children, they were unable to speak and only uttered cries and other noises. Due to not being fed solid food, the older of the two boys had not yet developed a biting reflex, which is highly unusual for a child of his age. The parents' strange child-rearing practices also have led to a number of other grave developmental setbacks. Experts say that both the boys are severely lagging behind in their mental and physical abilities. Poor hygiene was another problem. The parents had gotten rid of all electronic appliances in the household since they considered them unnecessary and washed nappies by hand. However, the mother and father claim that they simply considered clothing and leaving the house unnecessary for their children's well-being and did not mean to inflict any harm on them. The mother says she herself has only left the house about 3 times in the last 3 years. Child therapist Dr. Petra Vrtbovská of the NGO Natama says that such bizarre parenting methods can be very dangerous.
When the kids are small, that whatever parents actually do to them, they have no chance to escape, they have no choice. So when people believe in things like kids do not go outside, kids never get solid food, and they do it to them, then, according to their strange beliefs, the kids somehow just, you know, get the developmental phases get influenced. That's very dangerous. And in my practice, some time to time, I see parents with those strange beliefs, and it's painful, and it's not easy to work with it.
However, Dr. Vrtbovská believes that the two Wolf boys can overcome their developmental shortcomings with proper care. Experts say that cases such as this, while rare, show how important it is that neighbors who may suspect child abuse alert the authorities. The parents of the two boys may face up to 12 years in prison.
Sarah Borůvka with that story. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, where it's now time to go places. In this edition of Spotlight, Ruth Franková will take you to the winter resort of Jilemnice, the cradle of Czech skiing.
It is early on a Friday morning, the air is freezing and there is no sign of the sun in the sky. Yet the creaky old Karosa bus heading towards Krkonoše or Giant Mountains is almost full when I arrive at the bus station. Many people from Prague have taken their day off in order to enjoy some snow. Unlike most of my fellow travellers, I'm not heading towards the ski slopes and racing tracks. My destination is the little town of Jilemnice, crouching at the foothills of the Giant Mountains in North Bohemia. Jilemnice was one of the very first skiing centers in the country, and it proudly calls itself the cradle of Czech skiing. Petra Pohunková from the local town hall has promised to give me a tour through the town. We meet on the central square, right in front of the town hall building.
Probably the most interesting and most visible building is town hall, which was built in 18th century. It was also in the period of Haraks here, the period when Haraks came to Jilemnice. It used to be smaller and it didn't have this tower, and there also was not the clock which is there now. Some years after the building was built, they rebuilt the building and they added the tower to the building and they added the clock. The clock is one of the most interesting in Middle Europe. It's because of the number of strikes, which is 1020 in the day. Then there are some other brick buildings which replaced the former buildings, which were only timber or wooden. The buildings were rebuilt after fires. There were many fires in Jilemnice. One of them was caused by warriors' suites in 18th century. But there were three other fires which were in 1883 and two other years, I don't remember. And in these years, the timber buildings were completely burned. So people had to rebuild their town, and because they knew what the timber is like during the fire, they built the buildings from bricks and stone.
Not everybody could offer bricks, though, and you can still find some lovely wooden houses in Jilemnice. The most beautiful street, consisting almost entirely of traditional log cabins, is called Zviedava, or Curious Street. I wondered where its name came from.
It's probably because of the shape of the street or because of how the buildings, how the houses are placed on their plots. The street is not narrow, and on the right side, if you look up the hill, from each of the buildings we can see one window. So people from each of the buildings could look out of this window in the direction to the center.
We walk through the tiny street and up the hill towards the local cemetery, which is overlooking the entire town.
Okay, so we are now standing at a cemetery which is built on a hill. It's very windy here and the snow started falling. It's quite cold, and we are standing at a grave of one of the most famous people who was from Jilemnice.
Bohumil Hanč, I think he was not born in Jilemnice, he was born in Benecko, but he lived here. And it was one of the best-known skiers, maybe of the whole Republic or Bohemia those times. Oh, he became famous because of his death, if you can say it like this. And he died during the ski contest for 50 kilometers, which was held on Krkonoše Mountains. And he died because of very bad weather and snowstorm. And he died there with his best friend, Vrbata, who tried to help him, who gave him his jacket. And people who were looking for Hanč didn't know that also Vrbata is there on the place. So they didn't help Vrbata, only Hanč. But even if they helped Hanč, it was already too late to save his life.
Numb with cold, I hurried to the local museum, the Krkonošské muzeum, which is devoted to the history of the region and to the origin of skiing. As I slowly thawed out over a cup of tea, the museum's director and historian Jan Luštinec tells me about the town's history.
Jilemnice is the gateway to the western part of the giant mountains. It was founded as a center of the vast domain of the Wallensteins, who owned the whole of the West Giant Mountains and their foothills.
Jilemnice saw one of its greatest periods during the 18th century under the rule of the Earls of Harach, when the linen industry expanded. A second significant period was the second half of the 19th century, when there was an expansion of the tourist industry.
This was due to Earl Jan Harach, who brought skis to his woodsmen and later started manufacturing skis himself. The skis were soon passed from his employees to the local townsmen, and Jilemnice soon became the most significant skiing center. The very first ski club was founded here in 1895.
One of the darkest periods in the history of Jilemnice was the 30 Years' War, when most of the town was burned to the ground. In 1938, Nazi Germany annexed the borderland, and the final blow came with the post-war establishment of the communist regime, which abolished most of the local industries. After he tells me about the town's history, Mr. Luštinec takes me around the museum. There are some fine examples of glass and linen work and an exhibition devoted to skiing. You can see ancient skis made from old wooden barrel planks, as well as some finer pieces manufactured according to a Norwegian model. The most valuable objects, however, are kept under lock and key.
Here we have some examples of our ancestors' mastery. This is a sample of a yarn from the beginning of the 19th century. It's more than 200 years old. It's a little technical miracle. 296 meters of this yarn weighs only 1 gram. It was handmade without the use of a spinning wheel. It's the finest flax yarn in the world.
What immediately caught my eye in the small treasury was not the finest yarn, but the colourful nativity seen in the corner of the room. It was made by local teacher Joachim Metelka in 1913, and it took him more than 20 years to complete.
The nativity scene is not large, but it is interesting because of the figures and because of its technical aspects. There are altogether 142 figures performing 350 different movements. All the movements are managed by one single mechanism, which is operated by one weight. The clock strikes midnight, the time when Jesus was born. The midnight watch blows the horn. Angels in the sky start playing local Christmas carols and everything is set in motion. Metelka deliberately added local figures to the scene. There is a man processing flax. There are sheep grazing. A woman walks by with a child on her back, and there is a cuckoo sitting on a palm.
The mechanism in the nativity scene is too fragile to withstand being moved, so if you want to see it with your own eyes, you have one good reason to come to the little town of Jilemnice and enjoy its many other charms.
Ruth Frankova there, and that edition of Spotlight was first broadcast in January of 2008. The conditions for skiing are incomparably worse this year. In fact, due to the continuing mild weather, ski resorts fear huge losses in what is the worst skiing season in several decades. Now, in the final part of today's programme, a Czech lesson from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague has just started rebroadcasting.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech. Today I'm here with Daniela Lazarová and it's time for the letter B. I'll give you a hint. Brewery, barrel, belly. Yes, we're going to talk about beer or
pivo.
Beer and the Czech Republic are inseparable, and if you ever visit the country, even if you are not a great beer drinker, you should at least try it. The obvious place to try the local brew is a pub in Czech.
Hospoda.
Or
pivnice.
Which usually looks nothing like a classic English or Irish pub. Be prepared for a smoky place with grumpy waiters and questionable toilets, but that's all part of the experience. The Czech Republic uses the metric system, so forget about pints. The usual glass size is half a litre, or
půl litr.
In case you don't feel up to it, you can order
malé pivo,
or a small beer, which is 3 decilitres. But on the other hand, if you're really thirsty, you can ask for
tuplák,
or a double, that is a 1 litre jar. Most Czechs prefer light beer or
světlé pivo.
But there is a wide variety of dark, sweeter beers too. Dark beer is
černé pivo,
or literally black beer. You can also try out a blend of light and dark beer, which in Czech is called
řezané pivo,
which comes from
řezat,
to cut. In a Czech
hospoda,
people typically drink draft beer or
točené pivo.
And, you might be surprised to hear, many pubs have only one brand of beer on tap, so you don't order by brand, you just ask for a
pivo.
However, in most cases you can choose between ale or
desítka
and lager or
dvanáctka.
Patrons would look at you with suspicion if you ordered bottled beer,
lahvové pivo,
or canned beer,
pivo v plechovce,
literally beer in a can. Typical Czech draft beer has to have a head or
pěna.
If it does not, you should definitely complain to the barman at the tap, or
pípa.
The place where beer is brewed, or brewery, is
pivovar
in Czech, which comes from
vařit,
to brew. Czechs can be quite affectionate when talking about what the common man calls liquid bread, and exporters liquid gold. One affectionate version of the word
pivo
is
pivečko, or little beer. But be careful, it has nothing to do with the size of the glass. Next time, we'll look at the letter C, which in our series stands for all things Czech. Until then, it's goodbye.
Pavla Horáková there with her popular ABC series, a Czech language mini course for our listeners. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Just a reminder that you'll find all our features in text and sound on radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.